Welcome to Perception Vibes, where the vibe is to only be perceived by the music. There's already enough shade within the shade room, so we will not be discussing news, politics, gossip, anything of that nature which is to be debated if it is outside of the music or the creation of music. My name is Breeze, and this is my co-host, Shake B.
And we here to wrap up the end of the year 2020.
You know what? A lot of people had some beef with 2020, but
it was an interesting year.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say about 2020. 2020 was an interesting year for me. Got to see a lot of changes. It was weird for a while, but for me, I mainly focus on other things that was not negative.
Yeah.
That was my focus. And I feel that my passion for music helped me a lot because it allowed me to look at how is the music going to change now that we were put in this position of what are you going to do? You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. You can't see anybody. So what is going to entertain you?
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way because I feel like 2020 made people appreciate music again in a way that, like, you know, you can take the D-Nice situation as a perfect example of what that means, because, like, it was very entertaining. It was very much needed. It allowed people to, like, not focus on everything that was going on, but, like, enjoy music.
Right. Because to see him come on there and say, okay, let's focus on something else other than the fact that you're stuck in the house and we don't got no damn toilet paper and things like that. Like, let's look at what can make us happy. Music has always been, since the beginning of time, music brings everybody together. So that's what he did. And then it allowed you to be able to see that there is a lack of DJing. That was my biggest takeaway from D-Nice with the club quarantine. It was like, you're bringing us music that a lot of us have not listened to in a while. And then you found a way to transition it into some of today's music. And it was tasteful. It was for the family. It was for everybody. And, you know, for me to even see my child come in the room and see us having a good time with listening to our old school. You know, most of it she gonna turn her nose up to anyway because she hasn't heard as much as, you know, we play. But still,
right,
to come and spend this moment with us and see, like, we done set up the whole living room, done put my speakers that I use for my music and put that on the loudspeaker and playing it throughout the house at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because some of them nights with D-Nice, they were late nights.
Yeah, yeah.
And you still had hundreds of thousands of people because you couldn't do nothing else. So we just go jam out, go sip some wine, have our own little club in the house. I like that.
It was a party.
Big party.
Mm-hmm. And then you think about it, two verses came out of the quarantine. So it's just like, artist was able to come together and, you know, just relive music again, you know, and appreciate music again, you know. So it's just like, yeah.
I had been paying attention to Swiss and Tim for a long time, and they had been talking about doing that for a while. Just, you know, them two doing the verses against each other because that's how they had been playing around. So I had saw before Versus was Versus to watch Swiss Beatz and Just Blaze do something. I want to say it was 2019 when they did that. And that was like beginning stages of what we have now today as Versus. So that was interesting to watch them do that on live. And then to see Tim and Swiss do theirs. And then finally it's like, well, let's see what we can do if we start bringing in other producers and other songwriters, anything of the collective of the music that has happened in the last 20 years or, you know, just in general. It was good to see. I enjoyed that. I feel like in the beginning, you know, it was rough for certain ones because I felt like that Manny Fresh and Scott Storch one, it was a bad matchup.
Okay.
Because Manny Fresh was different to the culture of music than Scott Storch was. Like, I probably would have rather seen Scott Storch go up against Neo than go up against Manny Fresh. As far as if you're going to go back and forth with hits. Yeah, because, you know, Neo is a singer, songwriter, and producer.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
About Neo?
Yeah, I didn't know he was a producer.
Well, I mean, when you really look at it, like, when you go look at the songwriting and things like that, you pretty much, songwriter and producer can be loosely... Especially if you're the one that's dealing with the actual final cut of it. Because when you look at the songwriter part of it, you may have encountered a label. And a label might have you signed on as a songwriter for the artist. The songwriter may link up with producers that may fall under that same label, right? And under those, they collab together to come up with a song. So if you take Irreplaceable as that song, right? Neo has to sing that song. Neo writes the lyrics to that song. And he works with the producer to, okay, this is how the song is going to go. So then you take it to Beyonce and then you give him the reference track of how Neo sung the song. And then that transitions into Beyonce's Irreplaceable. Now, Beyonce may change a few words, or she may even sing the arrangement, rearrange some of the arrangement of the song. But in reality, it all boils down to how Neo and that producer came together to give that song to her to do.
Did not know that.
So that's how most songwriters work. In order to, you know, this is why there's a lot of songwriting boot camps and things like that, where you have the collective of producers and songwriters and y'all come up with songs together to shop to the labels. And this is how you can get those type of songs to get placement on somebody's album.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that makes sense why you said Neo and Scott Storch.
Because in reality, Neo and Scott Storch, that's pop. That's, you know, they have a lot of pop stuff. They do have R&B stuff too, but a lot of their big hits were pop hits. So that's why I felt like that matched more than a Manny Fresh and Scott Storch. It was odd. You were better off putting Manny Fresh and you could have did Manny Fresh and Swiss Beatz. Because when you look at Manny Fresh and then you look at Swiss Beatz, They were the in-house producers for the labels that they were under. Swiss with Rough Riders, Manny with Cash Money. That made more sense. That made more sense to me. But overall, I did enjoy the verses. The only one that I was like, nah, it was mad disrespectful was the Neo and Sean Garrett. Like,
that's the one I didn't even watch.
It was uncomfortable because it was like, if you were trying to be entertaining, it wasn't entertaining. It just came off like you was just trying to be an asshole the whole time. Like, Manny made it funny when he was taking his shots. At a certain point, it did get a little uncomfortable with the Manny shit. But Sean Garrett, it was just like, why? Yeah. Why are you so extra? And I didn't want to watch it anymore. I think I only watched like the first couple of songs because it was like you was doing it and Neil was like, bro, I'm not even on that. Yeah. So why are you doing it? Right. Type of thing. But yeah, the Versus effect. That was, I think, my favorite. My top five for the Verses would be the Erykah Badu and Jill Scott. The Jeezy and Gucci was definitely interesting.
T-Pain and Lil Jon's was nice too.
Yeah, T-Pain's and Lil Jon's. I loved theirs. Theirs was good. Who else? Definitely did not watch the E-40 in the Too Short one. I'm not a fan of E-40 at all, but I was a fan of Too Short, but it still wasn't enough to get me to tune in. Who else?
If you don't remember, they don't belong.
Oh, I'm not putting it in there. I think that if we weren't in quarantine, I think Black is King would have got a little bit more attention.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that from my perspective, Black is King, the visual album of it made me go back and listen to the actual album.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the album initially came out, I was like,
yeah, I remember you said you.
I'm like, Beyonce, what the hell is this?
yeah.
I'm like, what is this? No, I'm not feeling it. But then I believe that within my consciousness growing, with me being able to sit down and not having nothing else to do and really looking at my inner self and seeking knowledge about things now, it allowed me to watch Black is King and see the symbolisms that was within that visual album so that I was able to appreciate the album more. I think that you definitely have to be in a certain consciousness in order to understand the visual album and the album. It's very powerful if you're ready to receive it. I thought that was good for her.
Should Beyonce continue the visual albums?
Definitely.
Because this would be, that's her third. Beyonce was her first one.
That was a visual album or was that just a concert?
Beyonce had visuals.
The album Beyonce?
Yeah. That was her first one, dropped on iTunes.
I don't recall. I don't think I paid that one
anymore. The one with Blow and Partition.
Oh shit.
And Mine.
Wait, no.
That was her first visual album.
No. What? No.
That was the one where
you forget because she had a visual for with Kitty Cat. B-Day.
That was a visual album?
It was visuals.
No. Beyonce was her first visual album because she did a visual to every single song.
But I thought she did the same thing with B-Day.
She had a visual for every song? Because I know Ring the Alarm.
Yes, I remember there was a visual for Ring the Alarm.
Freakum Dress.
There was one for Freakum Dress. There was one
Green
for...
Green Light.
Yes, there was one for Green Light.
I don't know. I just remember the Beyonce album highlighted as a visual album.
Yeah, because she had one for Freakum Dress. She had one for Kitty Cat. She had one for Sugar Mama. She had one for Irreplaceable. Upgrade You. Beautiful Liar. Listen. Yeah. She had visuals for that as well that she put together as a collective because I remember I thought they had that on MTV too where mm-hmm. they would play them all together. Okay. Where it was a special thing. So
yeah. It'll be her fourth.
Yeah.
That's her fourth. So B-Day, Beyonce, Lemonade.
And Black is King. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and watch B-Day. I don't remember. I remember her concert more than I remember her videos for B-Day.
Okay. But yeah. Because I remember, because Kitty Cat was my shit.
I need a live visual album from Beyonce. That's
but
homecoming do not count.
I'm going to say it don't count. Homecoming don't count.
I don't want it to count. I don't want it to count because, like, I don't know when the next time we're going to be able to have, like, a live concert.
With the collective of people?
Yeah. So, like, I want an actual one that I can, like, Beyonce, put her tickets out. Only a certain amount of people can join in. I want the live.
What you mean? Elaborate.
Like, Beyonce, she put her tickets out saying, you know, I'm going to have a live concert, blah, blah, blah. And she still have her stage set up, still have her dope visuals or whatever. She gives her concert, but I'm watching it as she performs it. I want a live stream Beyonce concert.
But so why doesn't homecoming doesn't count? That's exactly what it was.
People were allowed to be there and I wasn't.
Oh.
So no.
So you saying because of the fact that there was a physical presence of it and then there was a live stream of it, it doesn't count.
Yeah, because and then you still had the in-betweens of, you know, I love the homecoming because I love watching the process. I love that she gave both the process of rehearsal and the concert, but I want the concert. I just want the concert.
Okay, so I was just having that discussion because Ariana Grande dropped Concert on Netflix for her the two albums that she had dropped within 8 months of each other. And I was asking that same question of, do you want just strictly the concert or do you want the concert and the behind the scenes?
I love to have options. So
you would like two versions?
Both. Yeah, I want both. Because like sometimes I want to watch the whole thing. And then sometimes I just want to see you perform. I don't want to cut in between my favorite song to hear you talk.
Okay, I understand.
So like,
I prefer to just have the whole thing with the behind the scenes.
I want my option.
Would you like to see more R&B artists give us the concert with the behind the scenes?
Yes, I want more live performances from R&B artists, like, period. Because sometimes, like, I prefer to hear live versions better.
Yeah.
Like, and we forgot to shout out, well, Tiny Desk, they've been doing it
for a while, but Tiny Desk, you feel like it was more?
It was highlighted in 2020 because we wanted more music. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, Ari Lennox, Tiny Desk, loved it because it's like, it's giving me the intimate feel of the artists and their music. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I love to know that the artists can really sing.
Right. Because I enjoyed Lucky Day.
Yeah.
Like Lucky Day's, his Tiny Desk.
Yes.
Especially when he did the Misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Like that made me go back and really enjoy that song because of the way that he decided to go ahead and switch it up for the Tiny Desk because you had live instruments there, but it wasn't the full capacity of what you got from the recorded song. So to be able to hear that in its live version, it was like, okay, I really do like that song.
I try to search for live performances of Janae's all the time, but the fact that I can only get the ones that's recorded on phones, I don't want to hear people singing. I want to hear you sing.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? So I want actual recordings of concerts because now it seems like it's kind of our only option for now.
Right.
So can we get that?
Because Jenna, she just did the look. She had her tiny desk.
She had her at-home tiny desk.
But do you see how it transitioned from the way that the tiny desk was before quarantine to how it is now, where it's like you're getting an actual set, whereas before it was actually you were in front of like a tiny desk with a little small mm-hmm. audience that might have been behind the cameras, but now you have to give me a performance yeah. because there is no audience anymore.
And Chloe Holly's, theirs was good.
So do you remember the conversation that we had about letting the music grow? So I had to watch a few of the Chloe and Halle performances that they've had lately. It's starting to grow on me.
Look at you.
It's starting to grow a little bit. I'm trying hard not to admit that. Not saying that I don't like them.
Right.
I'm not saying that I don't like them. It's right. just that it's not me.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard for me to admit that. Okay. Yeah. What's the something on the radio?
I'm not good at quoting their songs.
Me either. And then the fact that even with those live performances, they broke them down. They broke the songs down.
Yes.
So that helped.
Yes.
That helped a lot to the point where it's like, okay, maybe I'm being a little too harsh.
Yeah.
On them because yes. I'm not. It's not that I don't like them. It's because I'm not really connected to the music. But now that you're giving me the opportunity to see the how you broke the song down and what it is, what it means to you, then okay, I get it. I'll give you a listen. I'll listen to it a little more.
I'm going to keep saying it. To know the artist is to know the music. So it's like, it makes you go back and listen to their music from their perspective and respect it.
Right.
You don't have to like it still, but you respect, they did it the way they did.
So yeah, I'm willing to give it its respect because you explained it to me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's how confusing music can be. When
Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast.
Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use.
And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast.
That means you get to get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Make sure you join Anchor for all your podcast needs. It's some thought process put into it, and it's just not thrown out there just to be thrown out there because you want to be a rapper or you want to be a singer. Like, you really have a story or something that connected with you that made you feel that you needed to write this song. I can respect that. I can respect that. I understand that.
Definitely more live interaction from R&B.
So how did you feel about the award shows this year with how they did the live performances?
It was a good transition. I still don't like the awards part of it because I still feel like the awards part of it is
popularity contest.
Yeah, and it's just unfair. Yeah. It's unfair. Yeah, so the award part of it still got some growth. But the performance part, I like the way they did it. I do. Because it still gave you a little of the live feel in a way. But the only thing that changes that I feel affects live performances, because artists bounce off of the crowd. They bounce off of like their audience, you know, singing their songs and things like that. So it's just like, how does that impact how good you performed?
I think it was a good transition for them to go that we're still going to give you the award shows as well as the performances. My only issue is the actual performances. Are they live now or are you letting the artist cheat and do pre-recorded stuff and only performing those, lip-singing those pre-recorded tracks? That's my only issue, because me personally, I feel like if you have been nominated for an award for best R&B song or best R&B album or best album, anything that deals with the performance wise, and then they ask you to perform the song for a live audience, streaming or no stream, live and with people in the audience or not, I still feel that you should be able to give me a live performance of that song. This is what turns me off, because I don't really watch the award show to actually see who wins the award as of within the last decade or so, because of the fact that I feel like it's just a bunch of popularity contests with each category. But if when it comes down to the performances, I want a performance. Give me a performance. If you got 5 minutes to do a set, give me something to remember. And if the first thing that I notice is that you're not really singing, like it done got to the point where the rappers are not even rapping in songs anymore. It's like, nah, I'm good. I'm good on that. I understand that you may be dancing. You may have a whole routine set up for this performance, but then this is where it goes back to artist development, and you needed to know how to be able to do dance and sing or dance and rap at the same time, to be able to control your breath and be able to enunciate your words and be able to hit those notes. You need to rehearse if you're going to go out here and do a live performance. I feel like that's not an excuse. Not an excuse at all. You are a performer. You are an artist. Perfect your craft. Give me a live performance. Otherwise, why are you getting an award? Why are we acknowledging you if you can't even give me the decency to give me 5 minutes? 5 minutes of a live experience? I feel like that's not cool. That's why I don't watch the Soul Train Awards, because you don't give me a live performance. It's lip singing. Soul Train Awards is supposed to be about you singing or you performing or whatever it is, because you've turned the Soul Train Awards into R&B awards pretty much, because you don't have any rappers or anybody else on there. It's all about our culture of R&B, blues, whatever. For us. So give me a live performance. Stop letting these artists cheat you out of getting a real performance out of that. You can't say Brandy is the vocal queen, the vocal goddess, and then you go on there and you lip sing your song. I know the truth. I pay attention enough to know. I know when you're lip singing. Okay, the average listener doesn't know, but those who do, if you know, you know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
That's my own thing. I'm sorry, I went on a little rant.
Basically, what artists should focus on in 2021 to still give that live feel, to still bring in some form of touring money, you know. Go ahead and bring back fan clubs. And what they should do is, on the fan clubs, your fans get to know ahead of time the performance or whatever. You still can charge for your tickets, you know, because a lot of sites only have so much bandwidth that they can have so many people watching at a time. Right. So it's like, bring back fan clubs. Your fans get to experience the concert. bring back fan clubs. Your fans get to experience the live concert, you know, and then record that concert, put it out. Why not?
What you're saying is set up a page where your fans have exclusive access to your concert. You advertise it however you advertise it. And then say you set it up for March. You able to buy your tickets up until showtime or until it's sold out to have an exclusive amount of people that's able to actually watch the live show. You've already recorded it, so you've already done your live performance. You've done your mixing. You've done your editing. You've done everything, however you're going to do your set. And then you give them a link to whatever it is that they need to link it to see the actual performance.
Yeah, or just put it on Netflix. I don't know, but that would be my thing to kind of
I wouldn't put it on Netflix. I think your idea is good where they actually, you know, saying only.
Yeah, bring back your website.
Yeah, bring back the website.
Or what can happen is for the fan, if you join the fan club, it's a subscription fee. But with the subscription, you get merch, you get exclusive access, you know, have perks.
So pretty much the same experience that you would get at a concert where you go, if you got the VIP access to the concert, where you get the t-shirt, you get the bag, and then you get a meet and greet. And you, so then would you suggest to the artist to have like a meet and greet where like 100 people can do
a live stream
and they get to talk to you before the show gets put out? That's smart. You smart.
If you do that, artist, I would like my marketing cut. But no, seriously, I think that's a great idea, because you just have to find ways to still
interact with the fans.
Yeah. In 2021, you cannot use the pandemic as an excuse, because it's like you should have been spending 2020 figuring out your next move. If in 2021 you're still asking that same question, what am I going to do to get more fans? What am I going to do to broaden my audience? What am I going to do to create music? Shit, what are we going to do for our podcast? You know what I'm saying? Like, if in 2021 you're still asking yourself those same questions, you did not take advantage of 2020. Like, you just didn't.
2 Chainz and Eric Bellinger did like pop-up concerts where you could stay in the car. Like, so there are some artists out here that's already on it. Like, let's do this. They did a pop-up concert where you could stay in your car, and they had a little stage and everything and gave you a show. And then you also had it where Eric Bellinger did like a live stream of his acoustic album he just dropped. And so there are some artists that's like already on it. Let's get it. I got to keep moving. We got to keep producing, and we got to keep putting out this music. So let me do it this way. It's just everybody else needs to start coming up with their ideas. I think that's probably why I give Chloe and Halle their props as well, because they've taken advantage. Like when they had the little marathon, like for the graduates, they were on there. And then there was 2 other things that they were on there as well. Yes, they were performing the same songs, but there were differences in each of those performances. So it's like, y'all, old and new artists, all got to figure out, how am I going to use the internet to my advantage when it comes to releasing and performing music moving forward? Because we don't know how long it will be before we are able to get back to some normalcy of having concerts and having interactions with our fans.
It's just like artists, you know, We claim to be creatives. It's time to really be creative. Improvise. Definitely have to improvise with, you know, what you have. And how are you going to use what you have to get to and continue on with where you're going? And as I'm saying this to everybody else, I'm speaking to myself. Because, like, just no more excuses. It's really no more excuses, because we all have the same opportunities to do things that could be on like a bigger scale. But it's time to stop looking at other people's progress and comparing other people's progress to your own. Because every artist, every creative has their way in which way they're going. And, you know, it's up to you how long that road is. So if you stop now because of something you can't control, then why did you set out to do it in the first place? So take advantage of these. What is this? We got a couple more days in 2020. Use these last couple days to really self-evaluate and say, what am I going to do in 2021 that starts now?
I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there and say that next year, 2021, by the time you guys get it, we should be in 2021, but Perception Vibes is going to be something to go up against all podcasts, because you say don't compare, but I honestly feel nobody is doing what we're doing. Nobody is doing what we're doing as far as podcasts. I'm talking about the conversation of our podcast. We're not out here on no gossip shit. We're not. You heard the beginning. We're going to continue to keep saying it. That's the mantra. That is the mantra of Perception Vibes. And I am manifesting great shit for us in 2021. Because we sitting here right now. This is episode 8 for us. And I am proud of us.
Yeah.
I'm proud of what we have done in these last 6 months, because it's only really been 6 months for us. And I already see growth, and I'm excited to do this every time we get ready to record. And as long as I continue to feel this same excitement, we're going to keep it moving. And we're going to keep on figuring out different types of conversations that we can have, and also tie it all together into what it is that we are doing for this music that we love, that we passionate about, and where we want to go with our music and with our passion, with our marketing, with everything that we touch. I'm putting it out there. It's just going to be the beginning. Because right now is the beginning, but 2021 is going to magnify more. More from Shake House. More from Perception Vibes. More from you. We don't get it. It's ours because we claiming it. So follow back around at the end of 2021 to see where we going to be. It's going to be great. Great, 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 great.
Yeah. Oh, God. You threw my whole.
I'm sorry.
I'm thankful. I'm grateful for progress. You know, you have to take, and even if you don't use these last couple of days in 2020 to evaluate and have the right answer to your question, be thankful for whatever it is that you started. Just sit and really be grateful for what you started. Because if you started it, you had a reason for starting it. And if you aren't exactly in the position that you want or see yourself in the long run, don't let that affect the movement. Keep going, because it's coming. It's coming. And sometimes it's like right there at that breaking point where you're getting ready to say, you know what? It's not where I'm trying to be. It's not going the way I want it to go. So I'm going to just stop. Don't stop.
Right. Because in reality, I don't even know if you remember, but I said I wanted to do a podcast 2 years ago when we went to A3C. And we went to, I don't know, did you go? I don't know. I don't remember if you went with me or not. But there was a panel. There was a panel, and they were talking about things like podcasts and stuff like that. And I went to the guy that was, I want to say he was an executive for podcasts, for like a podcast service or something like that. And I asked him, you know, those questions, how do you start a podcast, and do you believe in this kind of idea about, you know, somebody like me, a female producer, to talk about music? He said, just start it. And it still took me 2 years to be like, all right, Breeze, let's go ahead and let's see what we can do. And even still, we still played around when once we made the decision to do the podcast, we still played around. Like, when we gonna start? It's like, I don't know. Maybe our birthdays. And it's like, birthday's coming. We ready to start? No, we ain't ready yet. But it's like, look, we gonna start this whether or not we ready or not. We started off on Zoom calls and doing that. And even still, right now, we're not exactly where we want to be, but we know we gonna keep it pushing. We're going to keep it pushing until we do. Invest here, invest there. Every little bit counts. And I'm grateful. I am grateful. I am truly grateful.
Put out your ideas. Like, you have a great idea. Do whatever it is that you need to do to just, like, execute in some way on that idea. Even if it's not the full span of the idea, do something to progress that idea forward, you know? So, like, I don't know, 2021 has to be execution mode. Yep. It really does.
2020 was, all right, shit, what the hell we about to do? I can't go nowhere. I can't do nothing. I can't be creative the way that I used to. All right, we got to figure out a new formula. All right, well, let's try this and let's see what happens. Ooh, I think it's working a little bit. All right, 2021 is now, we gotta go full throttle.
That's why I started it off saying shout out to 2021. Shout out to 2021, but definitely shout out to 2020. You know, I'm thankful for my health. You know, I'm thankful for my family's health. I'm thankful for, just the overall experience of having to really be forced to do everything that I said I was going to do. Like, you had to, because you basically was stripped of everything.
That comfortability.
Mm-hmm.
All of that was gone.
And it just showed, like, how are you going to react if this happens again, you know?
Right. Now is what is you gonna do if things really get even more real, to where even the comfortability of your job, like, what are you gonna do now? This, I feel like 2020 was to show all creatives that it's time to truly get creative. Stop treating this as a hobby, and what are you gonna do now that is really going to push you to, how are we going to get these streams of income off of my creativity?
Exactly.
Because as of right now, it seems like if you don't already have something that you feel that you're 100% secure in, then it's time to let the creativity kick in. Because can't nobody take away your creativity. Never allow anybody to take away your creativity. So now it's time to magnify the creativity to the next level and the next level and the next level, to where you don't have to worry about nobody telling you shit. That's what 2021 is. Magnify the creativity so can't nobody tell you shit. T-shirt!
Yes, yes. But like my predictions for 2021 in R&B is, and I want to put this out there. I know these last couple episodes, we kind of been tackling the same few artists, but it's because those same few artists, they're kind of the only ones that I give props to that have released something. I know there was a lot of R&B released this year. I know there's a lot more R&B artists than who we've touched based on. But what I'm saying is, I need better. But what I'm saying is, just need a little more. Just need a little more. I don't have the exact of what that little more is, but
I feel that in 2020, that I listened to a lot more music than you did.
Yeah, I didn't give anyone a chance this year.
I did give a lot of people a listen. As I explained last episode, you know, as a producer engineer, I am going to give you that one listen through, you know, one, you know, chance to catch my attention. And I feel like pretty much outside of who I've been discussing throughout the season of who I've been listening to, surprisingly, I did like the Kehlani album. It was different than her previous albums. I do see growth in her, but it's still not enough to consistently get my attention to, but I will listen to her. I didn't really too much care for her features. I feel like most of those features that she was on, if they decided to do a remix or not, didn't need her on it.
I second that.
I like, what's her name? Victoria Monet, I want to say.
Yeah.
I did enjoy hers, and it did make me go back to listen to some other things that she had, and I feel that she could be next. Mm-hmm. I like her. I like her sound. Moments, of course, my favorite. Yeah. Who else? We did, when we did have this discussion on men in R&B, I did leave out Lucky Day. I apologize for that. But at the time, he wasn't popping up to me. But I do enjoy Lucky Day. I do want to see more from him. I feel he can grow. I like his sound. His sound is different from the typical R&B that we are listening to. Who else?
I feel like the way I listened to music this year was based on solely what touched me, what really resonated with me, you know? Her name is Cleo Soul. Her album, I think, that album I played for a good 3 months straight. Yeah. And it was because, like, when somebody introduced her to me, it was like I was in that mindset of the past is the past. It's time to take your now. You know what I'm saying? I was at that moment where it was just like,
yeah. And then I liked that album because you had me listen to that album because you told me it was kind of on the verge of Solange.
Yeah.
That Solange vibe. So yeah, I did listen to her. I don't think I went back to that album, though. I didn't go back. But yeah, I did like her. I would like to hear more from her as well. The Queen Naija album, I listened to it. I feel that
it was probably a better project from her.
Yes.
But it still wasn't it.
Yes. I feel that she could definitely continue to grow. I would like to hear more from her. I also feel that with her having the following that she has from YouTube and things like that helps her. But I'm not taking that away from her ability to be an R&B artist.
Yeah.
If we're looking from music as a whole, it for me, I felt like 2020 was just a bunch of let's do TikTok challenges kind of thing. That's where I feel rap is. I feel rap is TikTok. R&B, I feel, is we still all over the place. Because even when I look at the replaylist, you know, Apple has it set up now, what Apple Music, where they give you your top list of songs that you play for the entire year. Yeah. And outside of myself and Beyonce's Black is King, it's pretty much those same, my same people that I've been listening to. And Big Sean's album is the only rap album that falls in my playlist for 2020, because in reality, Big Sean's album was the only one that really touched me as far as rap goes, because he on a whole nother consciousness level, and that's where I feel I'm aligned at. Whereas everybody else is like, I don't want to hear this shit no more. Yeah. I don't want to hear that no more. R&B, I'm giving you a chance, but I'm not hearing enough to align with.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I said in 2020, I'm still listening to music from 2018.
Who do you want to hear from? Like, what would be your album predictions for 2021?
Solange, can I get another one, please?
You think you're gonna get an album from Solange?
I'll probably get a visual before I get an album, but it's not gonna be a completely separate thing. Like, I believe that Solange is gonna give a 20-minute visual, and it's gonna be so dope.
You think so?
Yeah. Solange is, she's an artist. Like, that's why I rock with Solange so much, because, like, she's an artist. Yeah. So, Solange, let me get something. Ari Lennox has to follow up from Shea Butter Baby.
Yeah. Okay.
I like what she's released. I do like the Chocolate Pomegranate. I
haven't heard that.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth.
What is that?
I'm not going to sing it because it's going to be so off-key.
It's just a single?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely a single.
It's a single.
Yeah, it's definitely just a single. She can even give me another single, you know, something else.
Okay.
I just want to know that you're still making that music that I just vouched for you so hard for.
Okay.
You know? SZA just came out with her her single.
The Good Days.
Yeah.
Good Days, and she has Hit Different with Ty Dolla $ign.
SZA, is definitely time for you to come out with another album.
But I believe, did she not say that?
She said what she said, but I don't have time for that.
Oh, okay.
Especially if you just released two singles.
Okay.
And then that's what I was going to ask you, is just like, on the intros to Interlude episode, we talked about how Interlude's turning into an actual song. So at the end of Hit Different, she gave us a preview of this.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about the single? compared to the end of Hit Different.
I like the song.
Yeah.
I like the song.
Mm-hmm.
I like SZA.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I need it.
Yeah.
I need it.
Okay, so you said SZA, Ari Lennox, and Solange.
Yeah, I'll be smooth with those three. I'm not even gonna lie.
Just them and you good.
Let me throw a
because
guy
in there. I would like to see something from Lucky Day.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a follow up with him.
Mm-hmm.
I need a Kendrick album. I'm in desperate need of some Kendrick. I'm in desperate need of some Kendrick. I think Drake has an album coming out. I don't know.
I haven't looked forward to a Drake album.
Since Take Care?
No. If you're reading this, it's too late.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what was the album after that?
I think that's when you had him in Future.
Oh, that was dope too. I'm not gonna lie. That was hot too. But even when he just came out with this
mixtape thing.
Yeah. When he came out with that, it was like, I listened to it because it gave me something else to listen to than what I was listening to.
Right.
So it was just like, and it got me through my day at work. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I'm outside. And yeah, that was. I like the catchy of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, like, I'm excited to know that Drake's dropping an album, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
I'm just trying to think, like.
Drake fans love Drake, and I love that Drake fans love Drake, but I'm not.
If you got the R&B Drake that we got in the beginning, would you be a little more excited?
If I get Resistance Drake, Redemption Drake, nothing.
Prius Interlude Drake.
Yeah, Nothing's Into Something Drake. You know, Jaded Drake. Bet. Because I love, like, Redemption. I love when it's like that mellow, you know, that mellow tone that he gives, like that smooth vibe, that late night vibe, you know, on a drive vibe.
But that's what I want. That's what I would want from Drake.
And then you get that bridge where he just give you that nice little, yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When I say Drake.
I don't want any more nice for what?
Yeah.
I don't want it anymore, Drake.
No.
Can you stop?
No more Hotline Bling.
Can you stop?
You sorry.
For real, though.
If I had to go based off of the two singles that Usher dropped, I'm not looking forward to
it. But I think Usher dropped those two songs for the pandemic. He wanted us to cha-cha slide real quick.
No. No, I think those are going to be on Confessions.
They better not.
I wouldn't mind the Bad Habit, but you could keep the LMA song. Okay, so I noticed in 2020 that R&B is so irrelevant in today's music right now, that if you give an inkling of a good album, it shoots to number one.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these albums that get shot to number one, I'm like, how?
Yeah.
I don't understand how.
Yes. That is exactly what you said is true, because it's like, the person has not released an album in so long that it's just like everybody flocks to see, like,
right,
what did you put out?
Because,
and now it's number one.
I want to be honest. I do not think that Brandy album was what everybody has chased and tried to proclaim it to be. I do get it. She is a vocal goddess. But that album was not good
to me. I don't think that I can tell you what Brandy's sound is. Like, I couldn't say, like...
You can't tell what her sound is today.
Right.
When she initially came out, it was R&B pop-ish Brandy.
Right.
Sitting on top of the world.
Yeah.
Thing. Mm. As she has gotten older, I feel like she has experimenting with sounds. The 2011 album.
I haven't listened to a Brandy album since Full Moon. What was the single on?
I want to say the song with Chris Brown. And that was Put It Down. I'm going to put it down, down. You're going to fall in love.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't even know that was Brandy. all right.
That was a good album, though.
Yeah, so it was a lot of R&B. It was some R&B released this year. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
But Teyana Taylor had the best album of 2020.
Say it again.
Teyana Taylor had the best album in 2020.
Male or female?
Facts.
I'm mad that her label pissed her off that much that now she plotting to not even release any more albums. And I think that's bullshit. And I think that's fucked up for the culture. I think that's unfair. I don't think... Look at all the videos that she has produced over these last... I want to say even just the last 2 years. Like, she's starting to bring back the concept videos that we've been talking about. She has been putting out albums that we have been talking about where it collectively makes sense. Stop playing on Teyana Taylor. I'm so upset. I'm going to be so upset if she does not drop any more music.
I don't know. I get where she's coming from. I really do. But it's like, don't let them. Don't let them even, don't let them have it. Don't let them have it. Because.
I would say, if anything, try and figure out how you can get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
How can you get out of that deal? How can you leave the label?
Mm-hmm.
Because I need music from Teyana Taylor.
Yeah. And what I love about Teyana is that she's not going to conform her music.
Right.
Because of the lack of appreciation.
Right.
From the masses. Because a lot of artists would have been switched up the sound just to give you what you want, just to say that I got people rocking with me. But no. Teyana has been consistent.
Very consistent. I feel like that Keep the Same Energy album was not a Teyana Taylor album. I feel like that was a Kanye album. And she just rolled with the punches because, you know, out of respect.
She didn't let it affect her performance. Like, she killed the performance. If I had to listen to KTSE, I would watch the performances.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah, because they were lit.
Teyana Taylor is the complete package that we've been talking about as far as how R&B should be set up as far as the album goes from beginning to end, visuals and vocals, mixing, all of the above, not having to sound like anybody else. Everything. If you want an example of what we think R&B should be like, you should have listened to Teyana Taylor's The Album. Point blank period.
I don't know why people don't. I don't. And it's like, I'm going to continue to go hard for Teyana because, like, she deserve it. She deserve it.
I would take Seven and The Album over anybody's R&B album, at least in the last decade. If you told me, Shake, you got to listen to these two albums for the remainder of 2021, what two are you going to choose? I'm going to choose those two. Unless you told me I had to pick between Trip, then we got a little argument here. But seriously, man, I would like to see more music put out in 2021. And I'm not even necessarily saying the mainstream artists. I want to see some good R&B out. I'm going to listen. I'm going to give you a try.
It's going to be a clash of the genres in 2021.
You think so? Clash of the genres.
Who's going to take it? Rap? R&B?
You know what? And to be honest, I feel like if you really pay attention, for those who are the 80s, 90s babies, and you still appreciate that music from back then you would know there was a battle then in the 90s. It was a battle with R&B and rap because rap was so new that everybody was flocking to it, especially around that 92 on up. It was a battle. And I feel like they both were able to coincide with each other. Because you had Dr. Dre, you had Snoop, you had Tupac, you had Biggie, you had NWA, you had LL Cool J, you had all of those things, and then you had Mary J. Blige, you had Sade, you had Anita Baker, you had En Vogue, you had Faith, you had Faith Evans, you had 112, you had Mariah Carey, that's pop, but still, you had Whitney Houston, you had all of that culture in those 90s. So I guess we in the 2020s now, we in that battle, but I feel like we could come out even stronger than we did in the 90s. Everybody keep comparing the 90s because the 90s was crazy when it came to putting out excellent music. Jodeci, Belle Biv DeVoe, all of those 90s coinciding with rap, going back and forth, Michelle A, all of that music. We can do it. There's enough talented people in today's music, and it's so much easier now for you to be able to put out that music that there is no longer an excuse. I need a 2088 album in 2021. It's too much talent out here for us not to continue to be putting out great music. Stop feeding into the corporate, because I'm sorry, the TikTok challenges and all of those things, I feel like feels a corporate agenda of money, 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 because you got the numbers, 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 and the music is lacking, 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 lacking. I'm sick of this shit.
She fed up, y'all. Shang B is fed up. I don't know. Let's wrap up 2020.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Make sure y'all keep listening to Perception Vibes in 2021. Thank you to everyone who has tuned in thus far. It has been an amazing experience to know that y'all really rock with us. Shake B and Breeze, you know?
I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah.
And we about to grow.
But
we're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. Like, comment, share with your friend. Couple episodes, you know, your favorite episode. Make sure you follow me on Instagram _CoolBreeze. There is no E at the end of my Breeze, because I'm cool like that.
You can follow me at Shake House MG. All one word. So, what's the next? What we getting into? You know what we getting into? I know what we getting into next episode. You don't know? You quiet over there. What we getting into?
This is the remix. All right. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have some fun. Y'all better be ready because I'm taking you down memory lane with This Is The Remix.
Back down memory lane.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
See y'all next time.
Bye.